This morning, our sermon text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 24 through 34. And if you hadn't guessed already, this is some of Jesus' teaching on worry and anxiety. If you would please rise again for the hearing of God's holy word, and we read in Jesus' holy name. No one can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. Heavenly Father, your word is truth. Lord, we pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. God, today I pray by your word that you would show us our sinfulness, where we have fallen short of your glory. And Lord, point us to the finished work of your Son for us, who died even for our sins. By your word, strengthen us for your service, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the main point of our sermon text for today is actually something that's pretty clear and pretty simple. Jesus tells us, do not be anxious. Don't worry about a single thing. But he doesn't just tell us that. He gives us illustrations as to why we don't have to worry. He starts by talking about the birds of the air. He says they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store in barns, and yet God provides for them. And then Jesus goes on and he talks about the lilies of the field. He said they don't spin and they don't toil, but they're clothed in greater beauty than even Solomon. If God takes care of the birds and feeds them, and if God clothes the lilies who are here today and are gone tomorrow, you can expect him to take care of you. Because mankind is certainly much more important than a couple of plants and some birds, right? If we needed more evidence that God cares for mankind and provides for mankind, we can look to our Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings. We read there about the prophet Elijah when he was in the village of Zarephath. And God provided for him there. Remember, he encountered that widow and her son. They were on their last little bits of flour and oil, and she was planning on making just a little bit of bread so that they could eat it and then go and die. But she trusted the word of God's prophet, and God provided not just for Elijah, but for the widow and for her son as well. The oil didn't run out, and the flour didn't run out as long as the drought remained. That's a pretty graphic example of God's provision, even in the midst of the most dire of circumstances. Jesus tells us, don't worry. He says, don't be anxious because God cares for you. If we needed more encouragement to listen to these words and to not worry, Jesus tells us what our worrying earns us in verse 27. Our ESV translation that we read for the sermon text said, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? But the translation is a little bit off, and that's because Matthew used not a word for time, but instead a word for measurement. He said, which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to the span of your life? A cubit is that distance from your fingertip to your elbow, about 18 inches. Which of us by worrying and stressing can add half a step to our lives? None of us. In fact, a life that's filled with worry doesn't add time or add extra steps, it removes them from our lives. Worrying does nothing for us at all. It can't fix any of our problems that are going on today. It can't fix the problems that we have for tomorrow, and it can't add even a half a step to our lives. Worry does nothing good for us and really only causes us harm. You see, with or without our worry, God provides. God cares with or without our worry. Scripture tells us that he makes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the wicked and on the righteous alike. God's word promises that he provides more abundantly than we need. And he promises that he cares for creatures far less important and worthy than you and I and other human beings. If all of these promises from Holy Scripture are true, why is it that we all still continue to struggle with worry? Well, it really boils down to two things. The first thing is faith. You see, we can hear that God provides for the flowers of the field. We can hear that God provides for the birds of the air. We can hear that he promised to provide for mankind. We can hear things like what comes in the book of James, that every good and perfect gift is from our Heavenly Father. We can hear all of these things, but none of them are enough to make us confident that he's going to provide for me, right? Hearing that he provides for others doesn't mean that we're going to trust that he provides for me. Partly this is because we've got a sinful world that we live in, and our world is constantly telling us we need to be concerned with ourselves first. It's telling us that we always need to be looking out for number one because nobody else is going to look out for us and take care of us. And then we've got the evil one who tries to lie and deceive and get us to mistrust the Word of God, just like he's been doing since the Garden of Eden, since Adam and Eve. His tactics haven't changed. And then we have our old sinful nature, and it loves to trust in everything other than God and his promises. More than anything, our old sinful nature likes to say, I am going to put myself in the place of God. I am going to be the idol that I worship and serve and trust and rest in. You see, we have a hard time trusting the promises of God because our world tells us not to. The evil one tells us not to. And we have an enemy inside ourselves that is telling us not to. We struggle to trust that God will provide like he said he would because, honestly, our faith is weak. There's a second problem that causes us to worry in this world. This problem is our own eyes. If we take a step back and look at this world, we immediately see that it's a world that's filled with brokenness and sin and suffering and problems. As we look around, we find places with droughts. Remember, God said he closed the lilies of the field, but in those places with droughts, the lilies can't even grow. If we look around, we see the birds are falling dead, and humans too. There are people starving without enough food on their plates every day. Over 750 million people don't even have access to clean drinking water. When natural disasters come, they decimate communities. Our cities are filled with violent crimes like murder and assault and rape. We live in a country where there are threats of terrorism, both foreign and domestic. You see, this world is often a scary place. It's a sad place. And when I look around and I see all of those things that are going on, I begin to wonder and really question, is God telling the truth? Is he really going to provide? Because it looks like he's not in a lot of places. So how does what we see square with what Jesus promised here in the Gospel of Matthew? You see, we need to understand this passage properly because if we don't, it doesn't make any sense. If we imagine that in this passage, Jesus has promised that we're always going to be healthy and wealthy and wise, if we imagine that God is promising that because he cares for us, we're going to have our best life on this side of glory, if that's what we think this passage is saying, we're missing what Jesus had to say. we imagine that he's promising to make everything wonderful and fantastic in every moment without any hard times, without any struggles, without any pain, we're missing Jesus' point. You see, toward the end of our sermon text there in verse 33, Jesus kind of gave us the key to this whole passage. He said something very important, something that puts our passage in perspective. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus commands us to seek out the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? How do we seek God's kingdom? Well, we seek the kingdom by seeking the King, Jesus Christ. And thankfully, Christ is not hard to find because he's told us where to go to find him. We can always encounter Jesus Christ in the Holy Word of God. When we encounter the Word of God, we encounter Christ. If you want to seek the kingdom first, it starts and ends with the Word of God. Because in the Word, the King Jesus Christ comes to us and he offers to us everything that his perfect life and his sacrificial death have earned. So in seeking the kingdom, we find Jesus. And when we find Jesus, he offers to us the righteousness that he earned. So to seek the kingdom is to seek the righteousness of God. Now, we can't do it by our effort or our hard work or our feeble attempts even to bear good fruit. Instead, it only comes as a gift of God, which can only be received by grace through faith. In this world, apart from Christ, everyone runs around anxiously chasing after those things that they're going to eat or how they're going to clothe themselves or how they're going to stay safe. They chase around after these temporary things that are going to pass away, just here today and gone tomorrow. And even we Christians can be tempted to do the same thing, to worry about those things and how we're going to get them for today and for tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. But what Jesus said in verse 33 puts it in perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we're seeking Christ and receiving by faith that free gift of forgiveness and redemption and eternal life, it gives us the perspective to see that we have the only thing that really matters. It doesn't mean God's going to give us all those things that we want. It doesn't mean that he's going to make our wildest dreams come true or take away our pain and suffering in this life. But what it does mean is that he has graciously provided more than enough for today and more than enough for eternity because of that finished work of Christ for us. Having that perspective, that eternal perspective, allows us to step back and to see the blessings that God gives day in and day out, whether it's a fat time or a lean time of our lives. Having that perspective allows us to see that every day, every minute, every breath that we take is nothing other than an undeserved gift of God's grace. If we wake up in the morning and take a breath, we are living in undeserved and good gifts because we didn't wake up that day suffering in hell, which is what our sins have earned for us. You see, God has provided, and not just those temporary things that are going to pass away. He has provided for our eternities. I'm sure that tomorrow is going to have new troubles and new struggles, but those troubles are for tomorrow. We need to live here and what God has blessed us with for today, and trust in what he has promised us for eternity. So my friends, take heart. Do not be anxious, because your God cares for you, and he has faithfully provided, and he will continue to faithfully provide. Today we once again get to approach the Lord's table, and God is providing for us there again. You see, at the table, we're giving the holy body and blood of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Today, as we prepare to come to that table, I'd like you to come confessing your anxiety. I'd like you to come confessing your worry and even your weakness and lack of faith. But also come to that table believing that the finished work of Jesus Christ is more than enough, even for your sins. Rest in that finished work of Christ for you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and thank you for these words about worry and anxiety. Lord God, it is so easy for us to worry and stress and be anxious about every single thing, from the food that we're going to eat to the clothes that we're going to wear to what our future holds. Lord God, it's easy for us to worry and stress and be anxious about all of these things and forget, Lord, that you have provided, that you are providing, and that you will provide. It's easy for us to forget that you care for us, God. In the midst of our struggles, it's easy for us to forget that you care for us so much that you sent your only beloved Son to lay down his life that we might have life eternal. Lord, in so doing, you took care of our one biggest need. And when that need is cared for, everything else is just a detail. Lord, today as we come to the Lord's table, once again, allow us to examine ourselves and freely confess our sin before you, trusting that Christ's sacrifice is enough even for us. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.